I had asked Monica to come this morning and just to give you a very quick testimony of her testimony. And so she's going to speak in Melanesian Pidgin, which is the trade language in Papua New Guinea. And we learned the trade language because there's over 800 different languages in Papua New Guinea. Now, Monica is an English speaker as well. She can speak English very well, but she's agreed to do her talk in Pidgin so that you can hear what it sounds like.
Morning, Trulang Yiplolgata.
Good morning, you everyone.
Name Lang Mi Monica Na Mi Blong Papua New Guinea.
My name is Monica, and I am from Papua New Guinea.
Long one Paliklik province, or they call him Western Islands, na town in Mount Hagen.
I am from the province of the Western Highlands, and the town that I live in is Mount Hagen.
This place in or stop close to Olsem Long City, na this particular missionary is stop one time in now, he come na stop long this place.
This place that I'm at is a city, and these two missionaries have come and are staying at in my village area now.
Pa mi story liklik long mi usat na set mi kam luksave long bikla.
I want to story. I'm going back to Pidgin. I want to tell you who I am and how I have found the Lord.
Time mi liklik pikinini mi come up inside long Christian family.
When I was a small child, I grew inside of a Christian family.
Tasol pasin long place, one plumani get planted something.
But the way things go at my place, if one man has a lot of things,
M come up or some money got planted something or some money cargo na M can maritim planting Mary.
If a man has plenty of things and has a lot of money, a lot of items, then he can marry many women.
So Papa blong me M desplakain na M start long maritim planting Mary.
And my father was like this, and he married plenty of women.
Na time me get planty Mary, all right, heavy come up inside, na mama na papa must work and married.
But when he married many women, there was a lot of trouble in my family, and my mother and my father divorced.
Tupla papa na mama blong me work and married tasol, sabi blong me long bigpla, ino finish long this la time yet.
When my parents divorced, my understanding of Jesus didn't finish, it continued to grow.
So me going to stop one time on Hanko Line, long place, long mama.
And so at this time, I went with my mother to my uncle's family, which would be her mother's side of the family, and stayed there.
Now long this time, lately brother, long mama, long me, and pastor.
And at this time, my small brother, I didn't hear.
Lately brother, long mama.
Oh, all right. At this time, my mother's brother, which is my uncle.
Pastor.
Oh, and he died.
He was a pastor.
Oh, pastor. I thought she was throwing English in there. I thought she said passed on. He was a pastor.
Did you speak English now?
No.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? Love ink is medicine, so it's good. All right. So this time, Mama blong me, I'm strong black Christian still yet.
At this time, my mother was a very strong Christian.
Time we talk strong, black I'm sabibating all the time. I'm not school Mary, so I'm hard long reading Bible.
When I say strong, she prayed a lot, but she had never gone to school, so she couldn't read the Bible.
That's all. I'm buying me plo all picking any one Bible because me plo go long school now. I'm talking me plo all time. You must read in Bible.
But she bought each of my brothers and sisters and myself a Bible and told us to go to school and that we must read God's Word.
I'm encouraging me plo time me plo you read him this Bible and look savvy or some plenty good plus something. I'm stuck inside long talk long God.
And this Bible encouraged me because I saw in God's Word that there was a lot of good things.
Maski papa ilusi mipla na mipla stop liklik beginning ni stiliat long plus long mama, brother long mama.
It didn't matter that we were small children and we had left our father and was at our mother's place.
Tasol uncle blong mi em pastor na mi pla mas emi mama is ngati mi all time long long this place years.
And because my uncle was a pastor, my mother told us to always go to the church.
Na time mi pla go long this place years mi pla start long looking planti nara kind man Mary step inside long this place years.
When I went to the church, I began seeing that there were a lot of other people at the church.
In no one can color skin also mi get nara pla color step.
There wasn't one color like I was used to. There was all kinds of colors of skin. When I say this, I'm meaning like Tim and Diane and some other missionaries.
So Amy giving me more strong long me can look savvy also one in this black kind line color skin by come na sidan one time me.
And this gave me strength as I looked and saw that the other people with the other kind of color of skin have come and sat down with me.
The time me go close to long, all Emmy only helping me more long, look savvy long bigla.
And when I was close to them, they helped me to understand Jesus better.
Long outset only helping me, only pray one time me, only asking me, plenty asking, long look savvy long need long me.
How did they help me? They prayed with me. They looked at my life and helped me make this. And they asked me questions to help me understand God's word.
So time only asking me, plenty asking.
So when I ask a lot of questions.
Now look, sabi long this place asking me, ask him only get back him one time talk long God.
And they answered me with God's word.
And me giving me hope. Nupla thinking nupla savvy.
And this gave me new understanding.
Now me go meeting me lose thinking now long papa na mami buruk long marit.
And at this time I didn't have to think about my mother and father who had divorced.
Long one him God giving me nupla family and papa na mama when me can stop inside na look savvy long bigla.
Because God had given me a new family, a new father and a new mother.
Now this play me giving me plenty good play ama mas me giving me joy.
And this gave her joy.
So now me look savvy, now me yet me involved inside long plenty work long God.
And I've been involved in a lot of God's work.
Me no get plenty savvy, now me ask him all missionary, now all Christian line long pray, now helping me go close to more long God.
I didn't have a lot of understanding, but I asked the missionaries and I asked the Christians to pray for me so that I could come close to God.
So M1 Blahas, now me look savvy long Papa God, and me look savvy long Tim Nadine, and me look savvy long WGM, planted missionary come long class.
And so I've seen the things of God, I've seen the missionaries, I've seen World Gospel Mission.
He got planted something, he stepped inside where Emmy hope him thinking.
And there's a lot of things that opened my mind.
Opened bell for me.
Opened my life.
Long look savvy, one him kind life, this poor man Mary he live.
And I was able to look and see the kind of life lives these people lived.
Long one him place blong me, am hard long find him water.
Because in my village, it's hard to find water.
No got light.
We don't have lights.
No got good plak kai kai.
We don't have good food.
Also, you plak got long tin, you no got in kai kai.
Like we have our canned foods, they don't have that.
Now, him had long, one plak line, he experienced long bathroom, na something step inside, long same house.
And it's even hard to understand how the bathrooms can be inside the same house.
Nah, long place, I'm stop outside. Or get something, I'm outside.
In my village, it's outside. Be like our outhouses.
That's what I'm going to sing out him all this line he come.
But when God called Tim and Diane, the missionaries.
This place call em real long life long all.
God's call rings in their lives.
Emmy make him all senis.
And this, what God has done, has made a lot of changes.
Long one him now only can come up all say me.
Because now they are just like me.
Kai 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 blong me long garden.
They eat my food.
Go sleep about.
They sleep different places.
Drink water blong me.
They drink my water.
Kai 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 Go long one in place me can go.
They go to the places that I go.
Long one in like him long papa God is stop long bell long all.
And the reason they do this is because God's love is inside their lives.
No only get angry long kissing not a play come long big plan.
And they are hungry to call other men and women to God.
He got plenty need long place long me stop.
There's plenty of needs in my village.
Na me like sing out him you play, thank you long giving plenty alvim long all this play line.
And I want to thank you that for those who have helped Tim and Diane get to Papua New Guinea.
Now another play missionary stop now long have na still yet got thing long go.
And for the other missionaries who are in Papua New Guinea and continue to go back to Papua New Guinea.
You play pray long haul na continue long support him all.
Please pray for them and continue to support them.
And it's a privilege to be here. It's a blessing to be here. It's my first time out of my country, and I'm honored to be here in the house of God to meet all God's people. And I'm just very much, very joyful at every place that they take me to. It's a blessing to these two people here. They are very special to me. They are more than a mom and a dad to me. So... yeah. So I am so blessed to be here, and it's thank you for your prayers. I can remember we were here last night, and that's one guy up here said, "Well, there's three of the Bennett, and she's from Papua New Guinea, and this guys who were sitting right in front of like them said, oh, so it's like that I was one of you guys, but of course I am one of you guys. It's just the color of the skin. God bless you all."
It is good to be with you, and just a quick update on what Doug was saying. Our son Nathan has a few courses to finish DeVry University. He has a job, full-time job in Columbus. Our oldest daughter Leah is 19. She just finished her first year at Ohio Christian University. She just came back from a three-week trip to Ukraine and absolutely loved Ukraine and the little babies there, the children. And our youngest, Bethany, is 15. She is here at the camp with us. She's not in the service with us today because she's heard this enough that she could even come up here and say what we're saying to you. So we let her off this morning.
It is a privilege to be with you this morning, and I cannot believe that you have not had anybody from Papua New Guinea in all the years of this camp. I guess the only thing I can think of is, well, were they really just waiting for somebody from Georgia to be one of the first ones to go? But I am from Alma, and I just am excited to be here. And Doug was complaining to me this morning how he had on the platform a bunch of Northerners, and they were just getting out of control. And I told Doug, I said, "Doug, all you can do is keep feeding them grits and pray for God's grace." there is a saying, they're like, he's got all these Northerners down here. My cousin tells his brother all the time, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. So you're just going to have to put up with these guys. I hope that this morning we will say something that will challenge your heart, because when God's people get together, I firmly believe there are two things that should take place. First of all, God should challenge our hearts. Secondly, we should enjoy God's fellowship and enjoy one another. Now, in the spirit of that, I'm going to ask one of these two gentlemen to volunteer. Which one wants to be embarrassed? I mean, not embarrassed. That's the wrong word. Volunteer. When we go to Papua New Guinea, you know, we travel and we... Come on up, one of the two, RD or Brett, either one. It doesn't matter. Okay. He doesn't have any hair. He'll glow bright red like a light bulb, probably. One of the things that we have discovered as we travel is, you know, a lot of times people say, here comes the missionaries. They need money. And yes, money is one of the things. But more than anything, the things we need is your prayer support. Because that is the backbone of our ministry. That is the backbone of your ministry. It is the backbone of any ministry is the prayer support. Now, the reason I've asked him to come up here is one of the adjustments that some missionaries make when they go into these different cultures, they have to make different adjustments. And we do things one way, and people in other countries do things different. Like, say, for example, if I met you on the street, I would greet you, just come up and shake hands. Like, that's how we do it. That's the way God intended it right there, just like that. But, you know, you go into some of these other countries, and they'll reach and they'll take your hand, and they'll do like this right here. They'll take you by the hand and just kind of interlace fingers and just chat with you all day long, talk for as long as you want to talk. And to be honest with you, when I first got to Papua New Guinea, this took some getting used to.
He's doing good.
This kind of has a different connotation here in South Georgia. I mean, you just don't see men walking around, walking around holding hands, you know, fingers interlaced like this, and maybe even a little swing to it. I really like him to swing a little. He's starting to sweat now. But, you know, there are so many cultural adjustments, and a lot of them you can have fun with, but really and truly, for the missionaries to connect with their people, they have to make a lot of adjustments. And it's the same in any of the countries, the Ukraine and the other countries that are represented here. We need your prayer support. Now, what Diane and I want to do this morning is we want to take a few minutes, and we want to just show you some of the things that God has been doing in Papua New Guinea, especially this last term. I think he's headed for the light switch, right? All right. God has done some exciting things for us in this last term, and it has been a tremendous term, and God has blessed us tremendously. And I know I haven't been down here, but the last time Diane and I were home, we were raising funds to build a new Bible college in Mount Hagen. And thanks to your prayers and financial support and God's grace, we were able to build that Bible college. And these are some of the shots of the new Bible college that was built in Mount Hagen. And this has been such a blessing to our people, because one of the outcries of our church in PNG, we have about 77 churches established, and one of the outcries of the church is we need better trained pastors. We need a way to educate our people and train our pastors so that they can do a better job of ministering to the tasks that God has called them to. Now, one of the unique things about this Bible college is it was built entirely out of work teams, people just like yourselves coming to Papua New Guinea and volunteering their time and resources in building this Bible college. And it has been such a blessing. This is our first graduation class here, the first students we had. The school opened in 2004. We got back in 2003. We got it up and running, and it has been such a blessing. And these are the first graduates, and they wanted to say thank you for your help and your prayer support in getting them a place where they could go and prepare themselves. Now, Diane and I, you know, at any time, if you've got a question, feel free to stop us. This is just slides. We can stop any time. So if you've got a question, feel free to jump in. And but Diane and I were involved in multiple ministries, and it was an exciting time for us. One of the ministries that we were involved in this last time was exciting, when it was kids' ministries. And one of the things we found out about working with kids is it is an exciting task. We the first year we got there, we had a kids' camp. We had about 120 kids, I think, show up for that first camp. And it went so good, and we thought, hey, this is a piece of cake. Let's do it again next year. And so we said, all right, we'll set our goals a little higher and maybe shoot for, you know, we had 120, maybe we'll get 150 kids. And so we set our goals and made our preparations, got our staff ready. And first day of the camp the following year, we had 300 kids show up for that camp. And it just about got the best of us. But we did learn that taking care of that many kids, if it don't kill you, it'll make a better person out of you. And so God blessed us. And the good news was, out of that camp, we had a little over 100 kids, just like this little cutie, make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that was an exciting time. Diane and I are involved heavily in teaching and administration. As the field director, I have a lot of administration responsibilities. But one of the things that we enjoy doing most is leadership training. These are some shots of some of our upper-level church management, like district superintendents, district regional superintendents and their boards. We brought them in a couple of times to give leadership training so that they could better understand how they can lead their church. The church in Papua New Guinea is entirely run by the national church. The missionaries, we sit in an advisory capacity. We make no decisions for our national church. They do it entirely on their own, and that's exciting to see them. Now, granted, there are quite a few times they wouldn't do it the way we would do it, but that's all right, too. It's part of the learning process for them. So we've involved in a lot of leadership training. Quite often we would bring pastors and their wives in. We'd bring them into our house. Like, this is a shot of our living room. where we've got a bunch of tables set up. We'd jam them in and have weekend sessions where the pastors and their wives would come, and we would give them courses on how to better function as a husband and wife team in ministry. And that's exciting because in Papua New Guinea, team ministry is a new concept. The husband and wife relationships is totally different. And I don't have time to get into that right now. But if you see us around the camp, ask us about some of those cultural differences. Now, I was also involved heavily in evangelism. I spoke at many camps and many of our churches, and that's always exciting to be able to get out and be with the people in the villages. And that's where the real ministry takes place, is when you get out into the villages and those kind of settings.
I was able to be involved in several different ministries, but one of those ministries was just working with the local women, a lot of times just talking with them. And this is a group of women that are very special to me. They wanted to be able to take part in the Bible college and in the funding of the Bible college, but the women did not have jobs. And so they decided to make their string bags, which they call bee looms, and that they would sell those bee looms, and the profit from that they would give as an offering to the college. And so that's what they did. But right before we got ready to come back to the States, one of the women came to me and said, We want to help you get back to us sooner. What can we do? And I said, well, you can pray for us. And she said, well, we're already going to do that. That's our job. And they said, what else can we do? And I couldn't think of anything. And then she said, well, let's make string bags. Let's make the bee looms and send them back with you. Well, the bee looms, if you can see hanging up here, that's the largest size. And all I could picture was these hundreds of bee looms coming out of my suitcase, and I wouldn't be able to get them back to the States. And so I suggested that they make miniature bee looms. And so they did that. I never realized how many would come back to me. but they made these little miniature bee looms. And these are the colors of the national flag. And there was a few thousand of these made. So we have those on our table. And then when Monica came, she brought more bee looms. And these are made more in the like the true bee looms that the women would carry. And so she brought a lot of these to me. And so I have lots of bee looms. And all that we ask is if you take one, if you would give an offering, whatever God leads you to give. And if you don't have money to give an offering of prayer, and just take one of these bee looms. It'll be a good prayer reminder for you. Just stick it in your Bible. They also make great Christmas tree ornaments. So think about that. But that was these ladies, that was their contribution and helping us to get back to them. And then I was also involved in just getting out into the village areas with the women. A lot of the women in Papua New Guinea that are my age and older cannot read or write. And the reason they can is they never had the opportunity to go to school. And so for these women, a lot of them have never heard God's story in chronological order. They've been to the church, they've heard the pastor preach, but they've not gotten the full story, just as Monica talked about with her mother and not being able to read the Bible. And she wanted, the mother wanted the kids to go to school so that they could read the Bible. But I really enjoyed my time in the villages. And then I also taught at our Bible college. Now this class, we actually started before the college opened up. Our local people who live right around the college said they wanted to have a class before the college began. And so I decided to meet at night and I taught history. And the reason I taught history is because history is his story. And I taught from creation through to the birth of Christ. And for some of those in this class, that was the first time that they had heard the full gospel story from creation to the birth of Christ in chronological order. So it was a lot of fun doing that. And then I was also involved in teaching literacy. As I said, a lot of the women my age could not read or write. And so I got involved in teaching literacy. And during our last term, I was able to teach about 100 women to be able to read God's word. Now, this lady here is a very special lady to me. She's a good friend of mine, and her name is Anna. And Anna told me her story once. She said that when she was a little girl, the schools began opening up in her area. And she wanted to go to school. And so she went to her father, and her father told her no, she couldn't go to school because he didn't have enough money to send her. He had enough money to send her brother, but he couldn't send two children. And it was much more important to educate the boys than it was the girls, because when a boy grows up in Papua New Guinea, he will always remain with the tribe. When a girl grows up, she is married outside of the tribe. And for that reason, Anna was not able to get an education. And so Anna grew up later. She got married, and she said she was in her mother-in-law's home, and she saw her mother-in-law reading God's Word. And she said she got mad and thought, well, why can this old lady read and I can't? And she began praying that day that God would teach her to read His Word. Now, Anna began that prayer before she was a Christian. 4 years later, she became a Christian, and she continued that prayer. And Anna prayed for 17 years to be able to read God's Word. Can you imagine praying for something for 17 years? To have the opportunity that you and I have so easily accessible to us. And today, Anna can read God's Word. It's such a joy to see her get up in front of the congregation and to open her Bible. She can't see very well these days, so she has this little pair of glasses that's not really made for her, but it helps her. And she'll read a verse from God's Word. And it's such an exciting thing to see that happen. And then I was also able to be involved with a group of young people, and we had a drama team. Now, the reason I started this drama team was not just to perform dramas, but it was to be able to disciple these teens. A lot of the youth in Papua New Guinea have no leadership. And they have the, on one side, they have their Melanesian culture. On the other side, they have the Western world coming in through movies. And they don't know what's right and what's wrong and which way they're supposed to turn. And so I met with these kids. You'd be amazed what you can do with a stick in drama. And we had a great time. And sometimes I would have the kids put questions in a basket, and I would pull out a question, and I would answer that question from God's Word. And let me tell you, sometimes I had to dig because they were tough questions. I could not answer from my Western viewpoint because sometimes our Western viewpoint is wrong. I had to answer from God's Word. But we had a lot of fun doing that. And right now, the gal that's up front there holding the cross, that's Monica's sister, and she is leading the drama team in my absence. So pray for her as she does this. Another area that we were able to be involved in was in weddings and also funerals. This was the funeral of a young man who had been 18 years old, and he was murdered. And it was so devastating to the family, but what made it even more devastating was that only a year before this, their first son had died from AIDS. This is their second son, and they only have one son left now and a couple of daughters. And so this family, they were grieving. They're part of our Mount Hagen Church. And Tim and I went to the funeral and all the activities that went on along with that and basically just did what you do here. You go and you sit and you hold in somebody's hand and you cry with them. And just to let them know that we love them and that we cared. And how you bring casserole dishes to a funeral, we bring rice bags, okay? So we provide rice for the extended family that came in for the funeral. But one of the things that was really interesting with this situation was that the family, who claimed to be Christian, were hiring a local sorcerer to go and call for the spirit of their dead son to come home. And I was asked to go up into the village and to tell the people what God's Word says about this. And so I went, and I shared with them everything that I could find of what God's Word says about calling to the spirits of the dead. And frankly, as Christians, we are not permitted to. And so I shared that. And I remember the mother sitting beside me, and she said, "But Diane, we walk in the Melanesian or the Papua New Guinean footprints. We don't walk in the white man's footprints." And I said, "Oh, I don't want you to walk in the white man's footprints. I want you to walk in God's footprints." I wish I could say that this group had listened that day. That afternoon, the remaining brother went again to call to the spirit of his dead brother. And Tim's going to be sharing a little bit in a few minutes why that happened. And then we also had some teams come to Papua New Guinea. One of the really neat teams that we enjoyed so much was a prayer team. You know, you hear a lot about work teams, and you may think, well, I'm not a carpenter, I'm not a builder, I'm not an electrician, I can't go and do that. But this prayer team was so special. If you can pray, you can go on a prayer team. And the reason it was so special, you know, some people say, well, I can pray a lot cheaper here in the States, and I don't have to pay the money to get over there. And you can, but you cannot understand where the people are coming from, how they live, what they go through, unless you're sitting there with them. And it meant so much to our pastors to realize that someone came halfway around the world just to pray for them. In fact, we heard things, the prayer needs of our pastors, that we had not heard before because they opened up to this prayer team. because that's what the prayer team was there for. And so consider that, going on a prayer team to another country. It's just amazing.
Well, those are some of the things we were involved in this last term. And we want to take just a few minutes to share with you about the direction we're going in as we travel back to Papua New Guinea. And we're looking forward to some exciting things to be able to happen in Papua New Guinea. And our new ministry that we're going to be beginning is called BCAD. And I'm sure everybody here, you know, grew up in the church. You know what BCAD stands for. Everybody understands that. I see heads nodding. Okay. You're sure you know what it means, okay? Because if I ask you to tell me what it means, you'd be able to give me a right answer. Is that right? Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's put it to the test. I'll tell you what. We'll have a little test. You get in your mind what BCAD stands for, and I'll ask you. Well, better yet, I'll wait on that. Now, let's make it interesting, because in Papua New Guinea, they always make everything interesting. We call it gambling. They call it making it interesting. I tell you what, if you get it right, you get the privilege of taking Doug and his beautiful wife out to a nice meal somewhere. How about that? That sound good to you, Doug? That's fine. All right. If you get it wrong, I tell you what, these old farmers down here in Georgia, I know you guys are sitting on a bunch of old moldy money you just hadn't got rid of in a long time. If you get it wrong, just throw it in that basket over there. How about that, right? BCAD, this is the new ministry that we're going to be beginning. And what BCAD stands for is Bridging Cultures and Adding Disciples. How many of you got it right? All right, good, good. R.D., put your hand down, R.D. We know better than that. Hey.
They had a cheat sheet on.
Yeah. We know where he went to school at, so we know he didn't get it right. Now, what are we looking at when we're talking bridging cultures? One of the things that has come up in the last few years is we are understanding more about our church. And one of the things that we have found out as we have begun to minister, or not begin, we've been working in Papua New Guinea. Well, Diane and I have been there for 20 years now. And that was kind of a surprise to us. In fact, coming back on the plane this time, it dawned on us that we had been working in Papua New Guinea for 20 years. I mean, the time went by so fast. Our kids grew up. And you know, I hate to tell people, you know, we've been there 20 years. First thing you know, they'll be thinking we're as old as Doug. But, you know, that's not the case. But it snuck up on us. And one of the things that we realized as we've ministered there and we're changing a lot of our thinking, the bridge that we have built in Papua New Guinea is a good one, but there's some holes in it. And some of these prayer teams helped us see some of the holes in the bridge. Now, not to say that the gospel has any holes in it. No, not by any means. But one of the things that we're seeing is that there's some things that are in our church that we as new missionaries very naively thought, okay, they've accepted Christ, they've accepted Christianity, and all this other has been put away. But some of the things that we're realizing is there are some elements in our church in Papua New Guinea that don't need to be there. And we're seeing those elements. Just for example, like where Diane was sharing with you about this family where this young man was calling for the spirit of his dead brother to come back to his place. Now, one of the things you have to understand is in Papua New Guinea, this culture is absolutely ingrained in them. This is all they have known. They are very literally coming from a Stone Age existence to a modern age existence in virtually one generation. And so this is very much ingrained in them. And so one of the things that we have seen is some of this is still there. We thought it wasn't there, but it is. And one of the things that the new ministry that Diane and I are going to be involved in is we're going to be sitting down with our pastors, our church leaders, individuals in the church, just Christian laymen like Monica and her family, and talking to them and finding out what are some of these things. What are some of the issues that you're dealing with? If you notice on the video that you saw last night, Ruth Tipton mentioned the occult and the spiritual warfare. It is very much prevalent in Papua New Guinea. And so one of the new ministries that we're going to be getting involved in is how do we deal with these things that the people are dealing with? God will challenge the American church in a very different way. He won't challenge you with some of the things that he challenges our Papua New Guinea church, like demons and spirits and those kind of things. But he'll challenge this church in a different way. And as I look at the American church, one of the things I see is the American church is just way too busy. We are distracted by our busyness. And so that is the way that Satan challenges the American church. But he does it a different way in Papua New Guinea. And some of the things that we want to look at is we want to show you real briefly just what kind of belief system that we're working with in Papua New Guinea.
And to help you understand that, we created this little chart here. The Papua New Guineans believe in God, they believe in Jesus, and they believe in the Holy Spirit. So you say, well, what's so different then? Well, you see, for us, that is the Godhead. For them, there are so many other spirits at work in their daily lives. They also have the Melanesian spirits. They have the God spirits. They have the ancestral spirits. They have the occult powers, or what they would call the Sanguma, which are the most feared spirits, because those are the spirits that can indwell within you. And then there's also the nature spirits, or the Masalai, which are spirits that live in the water or trees or stones, that type of thing. And so what we're hoping to do during our next term is to help our Christian brothers and sisters to understand that these spirits have no control over them whatsoever if Christ is living within them. And so we want to show them that these spirits are not Melanesian spirits, but what are they? They're Satan and his demons, and he is out to deceive them. And we've had people come and say, but I heard the voice of my dead relative. And we're sure they heard a voice, because Satan will deceive. And to be able to explain that this is not the voice of your dead relative, this is Satan and his demons deceiving you. And so we want to be able to show them what this really is, and to also show them that with God in their life, with being authority over their life, with Jesus living within them, and with the Holy Spirit empowering them to walk daily with the Lord, that these spirits no longer have any control over them. But rather, it is Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross for them. That is where their power lies. And so we hope to be able to show them that during our next term. But we need a little help doing it, because we can't do it alone. Now, this bridge was a bridge we crossed on the way to church one morning. This is our security man, James, who was traveling with us. And literally, he had to put the bridge back together so that we could cross it with our truck. This is just something we have to do sometimes in Papua New Guinea. But just as James is helping us there, we need your help here in order to get back to Papua New Guinea. We need people who will pray for us, and we need people not only who will pray for us, but who will stay connected and informed with our ministry. And how can you do that? Well, each of you, as you came in, you got one of these cards, and on the back it says, Dear Tim and Diane, by faith I want to have a part in your ministry. I will pray for you. You can mark that. You can write your name and address. If you have email, you can put your email there. And we send out a newsletter about 3 times a year when we're on the field. And then also we try to send out a monthly update. And that's where your emails come in to play, where you can see what's happening on a monthly basis and know how to pray better for us, know how to pray, what the needs are. And then we also need financial partners. Now, we have 88% of our support raised. We are coming down to the end now. But we've kind of been stuck on 88% for quite some time. Which is about $1,200 that we need in monthly support. And, you know, you think, when I thought of that, I thought, boy, it just seems like it's so much yet. And yet when I figured it out, it's only like 25 or 26 people giving $50 a month. And so it's pretty easy that way. But we want you to pray. I don't want to tell you an amount to give, because I want God to tell you what he would have you do on a regular monthly basis for this ministry. I know I have some people who give 25 a month. I have one lady who gives 225 a month. And I asked her once, I said, why do you do that? And she said, because God told me to. And so that's what I ask you. Ask him what he would have you to do and be part of this ministry. We need people who will help us to build the bridge, and that's getting us there. We do have a fairly large cash need. Just to fly myself and my husband and our youngest daughter, who's the only one that'll be going back with us this time, just to fly one way to Papua New Guinea for all three of us is $8,000. And then we also have to raise the money to get back, which is $16,000 right there. And so we have a significant cash need, and we ask that you pray about that as well. As we go back to Papua New Guinea, there's only one reason and one reason alone that we go. And right there it is, because God so loved the world. During our last term, we faced hardships like we had never faced before, and for good reason. We were building a Bible college. Satan was going to attack us with everything he had. And I remember coming home and being so discouraged and being so tired. And, you know, I read the story of my brain just went completely empty. Elijah, thank you. I read the story when Elijah battled the prophets of Baal. And he had that great victory. And then what did he do? Jezebel was out to do him in. And he ran. But what did God do? God fed him, allowed him to sleep, to rest, and restored him. And then gave him a helper. And his helper was Elisha. And so what we're asking of you, our term was very difficult. We needed to come home. We needed to rest, which we did. But God has so wonderfully restored. And we need someone to come alongside us and help us. And what we want to ask you is, will you be our Elisha? Will you come alongside us in this ministry? As we go back to Papua New Guinea, as I said, we're going to go back with our youngest daughter. Our older two children are in college. Now, our youngest is kneeling there in front, but our other daughter is also in this picture. Can you find her? She's the one standing in between myself and Tim. Leah's heart belongs to Papua New Guinea. This was her graduation party, and she said that she wanted to dress as the Malpa women do, which is the village that Monica is from. And the reason she did was she wanted to show the people there that her passport says United States of America, but her heart says Papua New Guinea. And so she dressed, and let me tell you, that paint that's on her, that stuff is hard to get off. What's around her eyes, that's whiteout. Can you imagine trying to scrub white out off your skin? And so she had worn that for about 5 hours that day and then took a shower and scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed. And the next day we were leaving to get on the plane to head back to the States. And she never did get all of it off. And so she still had some paint on her shoulders. And one of the ladies walking behind her said, she's taking us with her. And what I ask you is, will you come with us to Papua New Guinea? And will you help us in this ministry? Thank you so much for your attention. And thank you so much for your prayers. We really appreciate it.
And we just want to thank you for allowing us the privilege of being your missionaries in Papua New Guinea. You know, it is an exciting thing, the work of missions. You know, it says in the Great Commission, go ye missionaries. Well, actually, no, it doesn't. It says, go ye. And as we know, the ye is we, each and every one of us. And we thank you for the privilege that is ours to be your representatives in Papua New Guinea. So thank you. Doug?
They know what it is to experience tribal fighting and be caught in the midst of it, where your life is literally on the line. They know what it's like to be robbed, have your vehicle stopped on the road and be detained or be robbed or held hostage. They know what it's like to have your home invaded from a break-in and be at risk of even your life. I mean, you know, they've paid a price, but have served faithfully, and God has honored their faithfulness and given them fruit for their labors. And if the fruit of the many years of labor would only have been Monica, it would have been worthwhile, because you can sense from her smile that she's full of joy and that she loves the Lord. And she's excited about serving him. And I can assure you that she's just one of hundreds and thousands who've come to know the Savior and now serving him. And it's all been because of missionaries, and it's been because of the people who pray for them and send them. And so we wanted to give Taylor County Camp Meeting an opportunity to get acquainted with the work in Papua New Guinea. And then we'll just leave the response to you. That'll be between you and the Lord. We're not going to receive an offering in this session. We never do in the 9:30 session. We receive our first offering in the 11 o'clock session. But that doesn't stop you from giving now if you want to. Millie, would you stand? Stand tall, turn around, give everybody a big smile. Millie is our missionary secretary. And everything that you do today by way of response financially, in prayer, anything you're going to put on those cards... Jim, they're out?
Yes, they are.
They look something like this. They're very similar to the Taylor County envelopes, except I believe the wording is in blue. Is that correct?
That's correct.
has a picture on the back of the WGM headquarters building, and then you see it there. I want to invest in the worldwide ministry of World Gospel Mission. If you just generally want to give, and then we divide it among the missionaries, obviously you would just not put a designation. But if you wanted to designate a cash gift or monthly support or even a life investment toward a particular missionary, you'd need to indicate that. It could be more than one. You could fill out four of these or 10 of these. We don't care. We don't put any limits on how many you can fill out. But you can use this, or you can use the prayer card that has some of the same options on there indicating monthly support, life shares, prayer support, what have you. But we would ask that you drop those first into the plate, or that you give them directly to Millie. If you give them straight to the missionary, they might forget to tell Millie, and then we won't have a complete record of the camp response, and we want to have that. So we'll pass the plate in the next session, give some more information there about how you can support our other missionaries. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get the TARs over the top? They're our camp missionaries. They grew up here. They're products of this camp. They're kind of like our official camp missionaries. If we could put them over the top, and then we could go a long ways toward putting the Bennetts over the top, and we could give the other missionaries a great boost in their support. Phillips are just kind of getting started. I think they're just home. I don't think they've even been to headquarters yet, have you? They got to go up and suffer through orientation and reentry and SDI and all that stuff they put them through, and then they'll put them on the road full time. So we grabbed them kind of ahead of time to bring them to camp meeting. And of course, the Browers you're going to be hearing from in the 11 o'clock hour, learning more about who they are and what they do and why they're here. But I just think it'd just be wonderful if we could see to it that the TARs are completely funded, because frankly, it's time to get them out of here. They've been home long enough. They've been sitting, holding their hands, doing nothing here long enough.